Brilliant. Let's just pray, folks. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you that we don't need 20 people in a band at the front. We just need your presence. So, Lord God, I just pray that now, as we've sung your praise, we would now just experience your voice speaking to us, sharing with us things that we need to learn, we need to know, we need to live out today and the days ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Folks, I wonder, do you know what your name means? Who knows what their name means? Anyone know? Anyone know? Asher? Asher? Asher, what does your name mean? Huh? Happy. Ah, that's lovely. Anyone else know what their name means? Paul?
Small.
Small? You're a big man. Doesn't see you. Right, I looked up Lorraine's there while she was reading. You're named after the French province of Lorraine. Do you know that? Where is it? Where are you? Oh, hi, Lorraine. Hi. Lois, you are better than your brother, obviously. All right. So we know what our names mean? Put up your hand if you have no idea what your name means. It's awful. Okay. Molly, I'm going to look it up. And if this is offensive, I apologize in advance. All right, let's see, Molly. Oh, go to the girls. This is actually a terrible book. I bought it on Amazon, and it's rubbish. Right, Molly. It may not have... Moggy? Would Moggy do? I've got Moggy. Is Moggy really a name? Molly. Okay, if you want to know what Molly means, see Molly. Okay, we're going to go for a different spelling. Okay, okay. Your name is an informal version of Mary. All right? Sounds a bit... unlikely, doesn't it? But when you hear these, right? I've got a few of these. I looked on the internet, right? I apologize because I know we have a lovely Deirdre, at least one lovely Deirdre in this church, but it means sorrowful. Sorrowful, right? Emily, rival. Leah, Princess Leah, Princess Tired. That means tired. Huh? Lola, have we any Lolas? Showgirls. Lady of Sorrow. Calvin. Bald. Cameron. I've got a Cameron in my family. Crooked nose. Wait to hear this. Portia. Isn't Portia such a beautiful name? Gorgeous name, Portia. Here's Portia de Rossi here. Have you met Portia? Pig. That's what it means. And Bob. Right, we have a few Roberts here, right? Bob. Bright and famous. Isn't that good? Hi? And Simon, right? I always knew this because it's a version of the Hebrew Simeon, all right, which means he who hears. But there's an earlier derivation, snub-nosed. Isn't that shocking? That's really crazy. Right, folks, I want to show you, does anyone here speak Welsh? Does anyone speak even a wee bit of Welsh? No? No Welsh? What do you see this, right? This is the name of a Welsh village. It genuinely is. Somebody say that. Huh? Well done. Right, that is the name of a Welsh village. Is that a crazy thing? And what it means, right, is... It means... Oh, what? The church. That's right. That's the first two words. The church of St. Mary in a hollow white hazel near to a rapid whirlpool and to St. Tilizo Church near to a red cave. That's what that means, all right? That's what that name means. And names are descriptive, all right? Now, they're not descriptive of Deirdre, because Deirdre is not sorrowful, all right? But they are descriptive. They tell us something about the character of a place or a person, or at least they're meant to. What about what we're doing this morning? Church. Church. Is what we're doing, is it worthy of the name? Is it worthy of the name? Here's a little quote from my probably favorite author, a guy called A.W. Tozer. And he says this. He says, 100 religious persons knit into a unity by careful organization do not constitute a church any more than 11 dead men make a football team. Do you like that? You get 100 religious people and organize them carefully. Tozer says that's no more a church than if you get 11 corpses and call that a football team, all right? You get the point? Do we? No, me neither. Do we Do we live up to the name of what it is to be a church? Now, what we heard read to us by Lorraine, just an amazing reading, absolutely amazing reading about a church in a place called Antioch. And people in Jerusalem, which is kind of like the center of Christianity at this time, they start to worry because something has happened in a place called Antioch, which is in Turkey, which people are calling a church. And the people in Jerusalem, which are in the center of the thing, they just want to make sure, is this a real church? Is it a real church? Does it live up to the name of church? Is it like 11 corpses we're calling a football team? Or is this a real life church full of real life disciples? Now, this church in Antioch became a church by a really incredible way. Because what happened was there was a guy called Stephen, okay, who was kind of like a missionary at that moment. And he was stoned to death by all sorts of authorities. And he was the first Christian to die for his faith. The very first Christian to die for his faith. Stoned, the three stones at him until he died. It was awful. And what happened was all the other Christians went flying off in all sorts of different directions because they were terrified. But the beautiful thing was the Christians that were scattered in all of these different directions didn't just keep quiet about their faith. They shared their faith. They shared about Jesus with whoever they met. Well, not quite whoever they met. Because the vast majority of those Christians that were spread out to all these far-flung places only spoke to fellow Jews about the gospel. So they would sort of go into a town, like say they arrive in Dallingstown, and they would look out and try and find, who's the Jew here that I can share this message with? But there was one particular place called Antioch. Now, these were men of Cyrene and Cyprus who got flung to this place in Antioch. And they just decided, hey, we're not going to just share this message with Jews. We're going to share it with everybody we meet. So unlike people that got flung to Dallingstown, who looked around, are you a Jew? I'll maybe share with you. They just shared it down there in the shop. They just shared it with everybody that they met. And this church starts because of what the commentators call these daring spirits, these mavericks from Cyrene and Cyprus. There's a church that starts. It tells us that huge numbers turned to the Lord because God's hand was with these men. Huge numbers turned to the Lord. And a little church starts in Antioch. In fact, a very big church starts in Antioch. And so the people in Jerusalem go, what is this thing that started in Antioch? Is it sound? Is it, you know, is it okay? Are these real disciples? Is this a real church? And what they did was they sent the most open-minded, godly man they knew to go and check it out. And his name was Barnabas, okay? Now, Barnabas is described, I would love to be described like this, right? They sent Barnabas because he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. He was called the son of encouragement. Isn't that lovely? Would you love to be described that way? You know, good, full of the Holy Spirit, faith, a son of encouragement or a daughter of encouragement. You know, Barnabas had the ability. Most of us, when we see something different, we reject it. Barnabas had the ability to look at this church and through the eyes of faith decide whether or not this was a good thing that was happening. So we traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch to check out whether this was a real church or just a load of corpses. And he looked at this church and there were three things that he asked himself, I believe, as he was thinking about whether or not these were real disciples. How do you know a real disciple? Three things. Are they with Jesus? Are they becoming more? Oh, yes. Very good. Balcony, you're doing well today. You're low in number. And are they? Oh, these are nearly getting there. Five of you are nearly getting there. Okay. Are they with Jesus, worshiping? Are they like Jesus, growing in character like Jesus? And are they doing the things that Jesus did? Are they beginning to exhibit the sort of practice and behavior that Jesus exhibited? That's what a real disciple is. So the first little bit, with Jesus. It says this, Barnabas arrives in Antioch. And listen to these words. I just love them. When he arrived in Antioch and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad. Do you hear that? When he arrived in Antioch and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad. So what has happened is, he's arrived in the church. He's went, is this a real church or what? And he sees the transformation of people's lives. Sees what the grace of God has done, and he's glad. I just love that. Here's the question. If somebody came to Dollingstown, we have new people here this morning. If somebody came to St. Saviour's on a Sunday morning, and they were going, is this a real church or not? Okay. Would they see Jesus' presence here? Would they see that the grace of God is in operation here? I think they would if they looked, you know, carefully enough. But would they? What do you think if they came here? And it's so easy to have a go at the church, isn't it? What if they came to your house and sat with you for an entire week? Would they see the grace of God in operation there? See, Barnabas arrives here and he sees the presence of Jesus. He sees that grace is at work here and he's glad. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that Barnabas arrived and everything was perfect. Definitely doesn't mean that. Like, these are a bunch of pagans, okay, who are living in the most religious, idolatrous city in the world. You know, completely immoral place. And God has started to do something. It's not going to be perfect. But Barnabas can see that God is at work here. And this church isn't perfect, and our lives aren't perfect. But is God at work? Are we with Jesus? You know, I was at New Wine. As you know, I'm a little bit involved in the conference down in Sligo. And we heard a guy called David White speaking. He was just brilliant, this guy, David White. He was an English guy, big guy, you know, and he was just amazing. And he ministered in one of the most blessed parts of the known world, Liverpool, all right? And he ministered in a place where Robbie Fowler came from called Toxeth, okay? He was a Toxeth Terrier, all right, Toxeth. And it's a rough wee area, I think, would be fair to say. And David White, he met a man who was famous around Liverpool for putting nails in a baseball bat and whacking at people's heads. Sounds nice, doesn't it? And he was converted. And he started to write a commentary. Okay, now this is going to shock some of you, okay? I'm warning you in advance. He started writing a commentary on Romans, but he used in his commentary the occasional bad word. Okay? Because, you see, Jesus was there working in him. But it was only starting what God was doing in him. He's recently got ordained, and he's leading people to the Lord. Okay? The Toxeth Terrier, the man that put nails in a baseball bat, is now putting hope into people. Sounds better, doesn't it? You see, the it wasn't a perfect church. Everything wasn't exactly as it should have been, I don't think, in Antioch. But Barnabas could see that God was doing something beautiful here. This is a real church. It mightn't quite be there yet, but this is a real church. But I love what Barnabas says to him. He looks at what's going on in Antioch. He looks at what God's up to, and he says this to them. I just love it. When he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad, and he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. You know, a better translation of this is, he saw how God's grace had cleaved to them, latched onto them, and he encouraged them to cleave onto the Lord. So basically what he's saying is, he could see the evidence of God at work, but he encouraged them, you stay with Jesus. You stay with Jesus, and you'll grow to be more like him. Secondly, here's what he's looking for. Not just worshipers, but he's looking for people, thank you, next slide, who are like Jesus. Okay? Now, none of us are perfect, but but he's looking to see if they're like Jesus. Now, as I've already said, Antioch is a really dodgy place. It's the third largest city in the whole empire, Roman Empire. But it was referred to as the abode of the gods because they just worshipped anything that moved. It was just such an idolatrous place, and there was all sorts of sort of dodgy cult prostitution and all that sort of stuff. So what Barnabas does is he goes and gets reinforcements. And he goes to a place called Tarsus, and he goes and gets a guy called Saul or Paul, who is one of the best preachers that he knows of. He's also a preacher who has particularly been called by God to preach both to Jews and to Gentiles. That's what we read in Acts 9, verse 15. The Lord said to Ananias, "Go, Saul, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to the people of Israel." So Saul comes alongside Barnabas, and they teach this church. They teach them. It says every day. Okay, every day they taught them. You cannot grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ unless you receive teaching. Teaching. And what I love is that this is the first time Jesus' followers are referred to in the whole Bible as Christians. Okay? What does it say? It says, for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the people, the church, and taught great numbers. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. What does Christian mean? Huh? Christ in? Like Christ. Like Christ, that's what it means. You know, isn't that what J. John says? If you take Christ out of Christian, you're just left with Ian. All right? Okay. Like Christ. He sees this church that has to be taught. They're with Jesus, but they become like Jesus. Now, Antioch is very famous. I don't know if Dollingstown's famous for giving people nicknames. I don't think it would be appropriate to share those nicknames if they do. But down in Monon, people get nicknames all the time. Well, Antioch in the ancient world was famous for nicknames. There was an emperor visited, Emperor Julian visited Antioch. You're supposed to give the emperor loads of respect in the Roman Empire. The people of Antioch saw his ridiculous pointy beard and called him the goat. Okay? I call him the goat. And so they like to give nicknames. And here we see them. They see a group of people who are with Jesus, are cleaving to him, are starting to be taught every single day. And all they can say is, like Jesus people. These are like Jesus. Here's another question. If somebody came into our church on a Sunday morning, would they say, these people are like Jesus? They're like Jesus. If somebody came and visited our lives for a week, would they say, these people are like Jesus? What do you think? So with Jesus, looks like a church to me. They're like Jesus. It's really looking like a church to me. But here's the big question, what do they do with it? What is the activity? Do they do the things that Jesus did? And what we read here is that during this time, the prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Okay, prophets, special gifted people that were operational in the early church who could hear God and share his word to the rest of the church. These people are in operation. And they come from Jerusalem down to Antioch, and they start to prophesy. And then we read one of them named Agapus, which every time I read Bagpus, I apologize in advance, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. Incredible stuff that we're hearing about. Somebody comes to this church, okay, and he stands up and he says, God has said to me that there's going to be a famine through the whole Roman world. And it does happen, this famine. And it says, during the reign of Claudius, it happened. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Folks, here's what I love. This group of people that are with Jesus start to receive teaching and they start to become so like Jesus that the people from the outside look in and say, these guys are Christians. And then all that stuff overflows in doing the things that Jesus did. They know that Jesus has been so generous to them that he's taken nails to his hands. They know that Jesus has taken the step to go from heaven to earth to save them. And so they think, how can we not help people that are starving? How can we not do that? They are now doing the things that Jesus did. Here's a question. If somebody grabbed your bank statement, would they say, oh, they're generous? They would if they saw mine. They don't realize that Zara's stolen it all. I haven't given it. All right? Only joking. Would they? If somebody looked at our diaries, would they say, whoa, they spend all their time just praying for people. They spend all their time just buying people cups of coffee. You know, what would they see? If they looked at your life, would they see somebody that loves to be with Jesus, that's growing more like Jesus and is doing the things that Jesus did? One final story. The story of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great has got a huge army at this stage, and he hears about a young man that has stolen a horse from his army. And he goes and he confronts the young man and he says, what is your name, boy? And the boy says, my name's Alexander. He says, what is your name? My name's Alexander. What is your name? My name's Alexander. Now, Alexander the Great says to this boy, you either need to change your name or change your manners. Isn't that great? You either need to change your name or change your manners. You're not going to share the same name as me if you're going to steal horses. Folks, here's the challenge this morning. Let's be church. Let's be church. Let's really, this year, let's stop seeing worship as something that we stand back and look at. Let's say that we're going to be with Jesus. If he is cleaved to us, we're going to cleave to him. Let's become more like Jesus. Let's embrace teaching. Myself and Carlton, bless you, are going to give you so many opportunities to tune in with teaching, even midweek this year, on a number of occasions, okay? So go get yourself some more teaching to become more like Jesus, and then take every opportunity to do the things that Jesus did. Be active with this stuff. Work it out with fear and trembling. Because we don't want to change our name. We want to change our conduct so that we look, are, and act more like Jesus. Let's stand together. Sorry, man. Fantastic. Let's just take a wee moment in his presence. We're about to sing something great. Wow. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Lord God, I pray that as we sing this song as church, that we are just grabbing onto you with both arms, cleaving to you, being with you, worshiping you, giving you everything because you are worthy. Lord God, I pray that as we sing this song about being free from the burden of sin, we would realize that this is not a magic trick, that it happens as our minds are transformed by the renewal. Our lives are transformed by the renewal of our minds. As we receive teaching, as we open the Word of God, as we delve deeply into the things that you have spoken, that is how we become free people. And Lord God, I pray that as we sing this song, being with you and growing more like you, that we would then leave this place seeking, obsessed with, desiring to do the things that Jesus did. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our songs with truth and intent, we pray. In Jesus' name.